Be opening in your Bibles to 1 John, the book of 1 John. It's great to be with you this morning. We have some visitors with us, and we're thankful for that. Thank you for being here and giving us the opportunity to be encouraged by you and to worship our God together with you. Hope you'll take the time to be back with us every time that you can be. Ethan's got a special visitor with him today, and we're glad to see her. And pray that she has a safe return home. You know, Brother Travis read for us just a moment ago that even in the days of Jesus, there were rumors that went around. And people would take, you know, just a little something that somebody said, in this case, taking a little something that Jesus said, and they formed this rumor about it, that John was not going to die, that he was going to be alive when Jesus came back. And John tries to clear up that rumor at the end of his gospel. He says, now that's not what Jesus said. He didn't say that I wasn't going to die. What he said was to Peter, if it is my will that he doesn't die, what does that matter to you, Peter? And you know, this rumor kind of got put to the test a little bit, because as I understand it, just from a historical perspective, the Apostle John lived on a long time. And at the time of him being a very old man, he's kind of exiled to the island of Patmos. And so I imagine there are probably many people who thought that he never died, that John is somewhere on the earth alive even to this day. But what we have in John's writings, though, is the work of an aged man, someone who has tarried a long time on this earth, someone who has learned a lot of things, that he has gained a lot of wisdom, he has gained a lot of experience, and he writes that down for us to learn from it. And so we've been talking for the last several weeks about the idea of growth, that we as a church need to grow, and that we're going to do that as each individual part is growing on its own, that we are experiencing personal growth, and then as we experience personal growth, the body as a whole will grow. And I want us to just think about the epistle of 1 John this morning. Brother Morgan had a great lesson at the Eastside meeting on Friday night, and one of the main points that he was making is, why do we obey God? And the answer to that was that a lot of us, we begin to obey God when we start out fearing hell. We are fearful of what God can do, just like Jesus told us to be. Don't fear the one who can just destroy the body only. Fear the one who can send both body and soul in hell. Like, fear him. And so a lot of us began our walk with the Lord because we were afraid of what would happen to us if we died apart from him. But the point that Brother Morgan made too, and he used 1 John to get us there, is that God doesn't want us to stay there. He wants us to grow to a point where when what we do, our faith, our walk with God, that it's motivated by love. And that really everything that we do would then be motivated by love. And so I just want to take the time this morning to read the epistle of 1 John. And to just us read all of that together and think about it from the perspective of, here is an aged man, a very wise man, someone who has gained lots of knowledge and experience, and he is here today to share it with us. He's saying, God wants you to grow, and this is how he wants you to grow. This is where he wants you to get when you get to a mature state in your life. He wants you to get to this place. You know, it's interesting. McKenna has this little sheet that she fills out while I preach. And it's got all these words on it. And each week she asks me to write down words that she needs to be listening for. And she keeps a tally of how many times I say that word in the sermon. Honey, you are not going to have enough room in your love box to fill in all the things. And so just write small. That's my only warning that I'll give about that. Let's read the epistle of 1 John together and learn from the great apostle. What was from the beginning? What we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have looked at and touched with our hands concerning the word of life. And the life was manifested, and we have seen and testify and proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested to us. What we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you also, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. These things we write so that our joy may be made complete. This is the message we have heard from Him and announced to you, that God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as He Himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus His Son cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. My little children, I'm writing these things to you so that we may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And He Himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for those of the whole world. By this we know that we have come to know Him, if we keep His commandments. The one who says, I have come to know Him, and does not keep His commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps His word, in him the love of God has truly been perfected. By this we know that we are in Him. The one who says he abides in Him ought himself to walk in the same manner as He walked. Beloved, I am not writing a new commandment to you, but an old commandment, which you have from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you have heard. On the other hand, I am writing a new commandment to you, which is true in Him and in you, because the darkness is passing away, and the true light is already shining. The one who says he is in the light and yet hates his brother is in the darkness until now. The one who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. But the one who hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. I am writing to you, little children, because your sins have been forgiven you in His name's sake. I am writing to you, fathers, because you know Him who has been from the beginning. I am writing to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. I have written to you, children, because you know the Father. I have written to you, fathers, because you know Him who has been from the beginning. I have written to you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the evil one. Do not love the world, nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life, is not from the Father, but is from the world. The world is passing away, and also its lusts. But the one who does the will of God lives forever. Children, it is the last hour. And just as you heard that Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have appeared. From this we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not really of us. For if they had been of us, they would have remained with us. But they went out, so that it would be shown that they are not of us. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you all know. I have not written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you do it. You do know it. And because no lie is of the truth. Who is the liar but the one who denies that Jesus is the Christ? This is the Antichrist, the one who comes or denies the Father and the Son. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father. The one who confesses the Son has the Father also. As for you, let that abide in you which you have heard from the beginning. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you also will abide in the Son and in the Father. This is the promise which He Himself made to us, eternal life. These things I have written to you concerning those who are trying to deceive you. As for you, the anointing which you received from Him abides in you, and you have no need for anyone to teach you. But as His anointing teaches you about all things, and is true and is not a lie, and just as it is taught you, you abide in Him. Now, little children, abide in Him, so that when He appears, we may have confidence and not shrink away from Him in shame at His coming. If you know that He is righteous, you know that everyone also who practices righteousness is born of Him. See how great a love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. And such we are. For this reason, the world does not know us, because it did not know Him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not appeared as yet what we will be. We know that when He appears, we will all be like Him, because we will see Him just as He is. And everyone who has this hope fixed on Him purifies himself, just as He is pure. Everyone who practices sin also practices lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. You know that He appeared in order to take away sins, and in Him there is no sin. No one who abides in Him sins. No one who sins has seen Him or knows Him. Little children, make sure no one deceives you. The one who practices righteousness is righteous, just as He is righteous. The one who practices sin is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. The Son of God appeared for this purpose, to destroy the works of the devil. No one who is born of God practices sin, because his seed abides in him, and he cannot sin, because he is born of God. By this, the children of God and the children of the devil are obvious. Anyone who does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor the one who does not love his brother. For this is the message which you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of the evil one and slew his brother. And for what reason did he slay him? Because his deeds were evil, and his brothers were righteous. Do not be surprised, brethren, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brethren. He who does not love abides in death. Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. We know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has the world's goods and sees his brother in need and closes his heart against him, how does the love of God abide in him? Little children, let us not love with word or with tongue, but in deed and truth. We will know by this that we are of the truth and will assure our heart before him. In whatever our heart condemns us, for God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God. And whatever we ask, we receive from him because we keep his commandments and do the things that are pleasing in his sight. This is his commandment, that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another just as he commanded us. The one who keeps his commandments abides in him, and he in him. We know by this that he abides in us by the Spirit whom he has given us. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus, is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, of which you have heard that it is coming, and now it is already in the world. You are from God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. They are from the world. Therefore they speak as from the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God. He who knows God listens to us. He who is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. By this, the love of God was manifested in us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. We have seen and testify that the Father has sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. We have come to know and have believed the love which God has for us. God is love, and the one who abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this, love is perfected with us, so that we may have confidence in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so also are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves punishment, and the one who fears is not perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. If someone says, "I love God," and hates his brother, he is a liar. For the one who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, that the one who loves God should love his brother also. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and whoever loves the Father loves the child born of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and observe his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is the one who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? This is the one who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ, not with water only, but with the water and with the blood. It is the Spirit who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth. For there are three that testify, the Spirit and the water and the blood, and the three are in agreement. If we receive the testimony of men, the testimony of God is greater. For the testimony of God is this, that He has testified concerning His Son. The one who believes in the Son of God has the testimony in himself. The one who does not believe God has made him a liar, because he has not believed in the testimony that God has given concerning His Son. And the testimony is this, that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He who has the Son has the life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have the life. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. This is the confidence which we have before Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us in whatever we ask, and know that we have the requests which we have asked from Him. If anyone sees his brother committing a sin not leading to death, he shall ask, and God will for him give life to those who commit sin not leading to death. There is a sin leading to death. I do not say that he should make request for this. All unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin not leading to death. We know that no one who is born of God sins, but he who has been born of God keeps him, and the evil one does not touch him. We know that we are of God, and that the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. And we know that the Son of God has come, and has given us understanding, so that we may know Him who is true. And we are in Him who is true, in His Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Little children, guard yourselves from idols. Did you pick up on some key themes in there? Believing in Jesus as the true Son of God. Loving God and abiding in His love. And showing people that you love God by the love that we have for one another. This is where we need to grow. This is the level to which we are hoping to attain. This is where we want to get. As we grow personally, we want to get to a point where we can say, I believe that Jesus is the true light. He's the Son of the living God. I love God because He first loved me, and I'm going to show the world how much I love Him in the way that I love others. Jesus said those are the two greatest commandments of all. Is that where we are? Are we on the right track to grow to that point? Even Peter agrees when he gives that list in 2 Peter, where he talks about adding to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge self-control. What does he get to? What's he building that great list to? Brotherly kindness and love. When we say we want to grow, the aged apostle is telling us from his wisdom, from his experience, that's the standard to which we all should strive. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the love that you have for us. We're thankful for the depth of that love in that you were willing to send your son, Jesus, to the cross so that we could benefit from his love. We're thankful for the Spirit and the water and the blood that testify to him. Testify to the love which he had for the world and the payment that was made so that the world might be saved. And Father, today we want to ask that you help us to grow in love. There may be some among us who have hatred in our hearts for our brethren. We've got anger and bitterness and wrath and clamor and evil speech and we've got things that are causing us to look at our brethren in anything but love. And we pray, Father, that you will forgive us and help us to drive out those thoughts and those sinful mindsets. Help us to truly love the brethren in the way that John described in his letter, so that we can be children of God and that we can be proclaiming the excellencies of you who have called us out of darkness and to walk in light. We're thankful, Father, that we have an advocate, Jesus Christ, the righteous, who is there to help us as we confess our sins and strive to walk in the light. We ask, Father, that you would forgive us for every way in which we've fallen short of what you would have us to be, and every way in which we have not kept your commandments. We pray, Father, that you will just strengthen us in our love for you and in our love for one another. It's possible, Father, that in the audience today we have people who have not yet surrendered their lives to you. And we want to pray on their behalf. And we want to ask that you would give them the courage and the confidence to step out in faith and to boldly proclaim that they believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that they want to surrender their lives to him, and that they want to lay down their lives at the foot of the cross, and they want to bring Jesus and make him Lord and Master of their lives, that they want to be buried with him in baptism. They want to have their sins washed away, and they want to be, as John described us in this letter, children of God. Father, fill their hearts with that confidence and that boldness, because today, you have told us, is the day of salvation. And may we not tarry or delay any longer, but may we decide today that we want to take up the name of Jesus Christ and that we want to wear that name as we go throughout this world, as we've sung this morning, to take it with us everywhere that we go, so that the world might come to know Jesus as the true light and the only true and living way. It is in the matchless name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. If you're ready to make that commitment this morning, then we want to invite you to come as we stand and sing this song.